Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Jesus told us to love thy neighbor as thyself.
Religious faith, the source of so much inspiration, an excuse for so much evil.
The Torah commands, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow.
I believe restoring religious faith to its rightful place as the guide to our world and its future is itself of the essence.
In Islam, there is the hadith that reads, none of you truly believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself.
We have every state represented here today, a half a dozen head of states, 182 nations represented.
The same is true for Buddhists and Hindus, for followers of Confucius, and for humanists.
Well, the day is coming tomorrow when many will be taking that special moment, though, that evening, perhaps a lunch or a dinner, a little gift, definitely a card. At the very minimum, it has to be a card. And then if you're in grade school, you're giving everybody cards, or maybe the little candy hearts, heart-shaped boxes, maybe a heart-shaped diamond, who knows. Valentine's Day has become, well, especially in a sagging economy, perhaps a hope for the retail outlets, but also a little respite from real life, a little respite spent in romance. Whether you're married or just going out with someone, everybody wants to have a Valentine. But where did it all start? And did it really start with Valentine himself, 4th century martyr and saint? We'll be talking here in the first 10 minutes of the show with Ted Olson, managing editor of news and online journalism for Christianity Today magazine, about 4th century martyr Saint Valentine. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation on St. Valentine, we'll be discussing Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos, going back even farther to the New Testament saints remembered this day by the church. Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. And then Dr. David Adams will join us from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We're going to talk about the consequences of Darwin's ideas as Darwin Week concludes, the consequences of ideas beyond the classroom, beyond biology, and beyond even evolution itself. That's the last half hour of Issues, Etc. Our call-in number live this Friday afternoon, February the 13th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Earlier this afternoon, I had an opportunity to talk with Ted Olson, managing editor of news and online journalism for Christianity Today magazine, about St. Valentine. I began the interview by asking Ted, would the real St. Valentine, whoever he was, recognize Valentine's Day today?
The real St. Valentine, whoever he was, may not even recognize the various stories about St. Valentine. It's very confusing to find out who was this historical figure, St. Valentine. There are at least three major candidates for that position, but it may not even be any of those three. Probably he was a person martyred for his faith. There are various dates for it. Supposedly, either 269 or 270 is one of the main stories about him, and supposedly killed for his faith, supposedly sent this farewell message to the daughter of his jailer who had been cured of blindness, and his note said, from your Valentine. That story may or may not be true, but the idea we have today of this huge spending spree on romantic love certainly would have been a bit surprising to any Christian monk or martyr in that period. I mean, in a lot of ways, what happened later on, whoever St. Valentine was, the memory of his martyr day was directly tied to in a lot of ways counter the pagan celebrations of romantic love. Romantic love. I'm using it euphemistically. Let's say lust. Okay, that's much better. There was kind of a Roman day called Lupercalia. I won't go too much into the depths of it, but it's basically a sexual lottery. You pulled names out of a box at random. You coupled with a young member of the opposite sex. After a year, you got picked. You had to pick another name. For obvious reasons, the church said this is a terrible thing. How can we? What can we do culturally to stem this? And as they did with a lot of holidays, they said, "Look, we've got this martyr that we can have people celebrate his day instead." And so, ironically, a lot of the romantic and sexual connotations of the day are still with us. The effort to tie it more to an agape kind of love that is self-sacrificial, that has largely gotten lost. And kind of the global trend, where this has become, the erotic aspects of Valentine's Day and us exporting that around the world have become pretty interesting. Actually, it's interesting in India right now. There's, kind of violent protests against St. Valentine's Day, not necessarily as a Christian holiday, but as kind of a lust celebrating holiday. So it is an interesting cultural phenomenon.
Talk a bit, if you would, about the world in which this person, perhaps 3rd, 4th century, existed as a Christian, where Christians could be killed for confessing the faith in Jesus Christ.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the first centuries of the church, how you determined who was a real Christian was, are you willing to die for your faith? And that became a huge question, especially, then as persecution stopped or got less, there's a lot of question about what do you do about Christian leaders who had in various ways compromised under threat of persecution. You had, of course, what some people call the martyr cult, where various churches tried to say, our martyrs were better than your martyrs or whatever. But on the positive side, you did have kind of this celebration of those people who were willing to follow Christ all the way to the cross and die to spread the word of God, to tell others about Jesus, and to follow Jesus in whatever costly measures this meant. Of course, as we're talking about St. Valentine, that there is an aspect where romantic love at its best is self-sacrificial. Those of us who are married, will often talk about, being willing to die for our spouse, especially in an area that would be regarding helping them to draw closer to God.
That world of martyrdom seems a world away, also a world away a church that was at the time intentionally countercultural, when it would have been very easy to just fade into the woodwork of Roman society and go quietly about your business. It seems that perhaps the church today could take a lesson from the age of martyrs and the age of a countercultural church. What are your thoughts there with about a minute and a half?
Yeah, you definitely could. It's interesting. I've just been reading lately a little bit more about some of the martyr, what happened after in the celebration of martyrs. And even the early bishops of the church complained that a lot of people were trying to commercialize the memory of the saints, that there were various things that you could buy or various parties that you could go to or whatever that took us further away from remembering with gratefulness those who went before us and were willing to die for the faith. And so this idea that Valentine's Day is overly commercial, the bishops of St. Valentine's time, probably would have had some of the same concerns about their own culture. They do want to live counterculturally in a way that is reflected in our pocketbooks and in the way we love each other.
All right, so what are you doing for Valentine today?
We went out earlier this week. All the babysitters are spoken for.
Oh, really? So I'm not going to be able to get one. I heard yesterday from my producer I'm not going to be able to get a reservation for dinner either. So
you get a lot better deals if you're willing to go out on the 13th or the 15th, I've found.
Maybe I'll try for the 16th or something. I think I'm busy on the 14th. Ted Olson is managing editor of News and Online Journalism for Christianity Today magazine. Ted, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
By the way, you can read something Ted Olson has written about St. Valentine under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Well, it's a big day, I know, for romance. It's a big day for married couples and for people who are thinking about marriage or couples not even thinking about marriage. Whether it's the heart or the diamond or the candy, in our case, probably staying home and not trying to fight the crowds, maybe a bottle of champagne, something like that. And since my wife and I are confirmed homebodies, just time together at home. The nature of love has been terribly distorted by our culture. I can tell you one thing. It's not what you read inside the Valentine's Day card. Now, that may be a great sentiment, but love is not a sentiment. And ultimately, love is not a feeling, although it carries along with it, kind of like the baby possums all over their mother's back, all sorts of feelings, not all of them positive, warm, and fuzzy feelings. Love hurts. Anyone who's raised children knows that love hurts. Anyone who's been married more than a couple of years knows that love can hurt. It can also exalt and give great joy and great comfort. It can do many things, but it is far more than feeling or sentiment. And as distorted as the culture is, for us Christians, love remains what God says it is. Love is ultimately the giving of oneself for another, laying down one's life for the other, submitting to one another, that is, putting the other one first. And my love falls far short. The only one I know that truly loves is the one who has loved us, Jesus Christ, with his own life. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos with Dr. Peter Scare.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click On Demand Audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand Audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click On Demand Audio.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A disturbing trend in Spain.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The socialist government of Spain recently released a report calling for more liberal abortion laws, despite a significant increase in abortions over previous years. The report indicated that the number of abortions in Spain has doubled during the last decade, giving it the third highest percentage increase in all of Europe. Spanish law only allows for abortions in cases where the pregnancy poses a threat to the physical or mental health of the mother. But because the Spanish government broadly defines the mental health of the mother, abortion is virtually unrestricted in the country.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.